Good morning. I'm going to put an image on the screen, and I'll tell you what it's not. It is not a rendition of Dr. Seuss's Whoville. It is not some science fiction imagination. Anybody know what this is? It's a neuron, right? This is the nucleus of a neuron, and these are all the dendrites, or let's just call them branches for now. There are 100 billion of these things in your brain, 100 billion of them, and they are firing. You see these little electrical impulses? This nucleus sends out these electrical impulses throughout all these 100 billion neurons in your brain, and as they send these electrical impulses out, there's 200 of those per second. What I want you to do is a little math problem in your brain. 200 of those per second. And every time one of these neurons sends out one of these electrical impulses, 200 per second, it connects to 1,000 other neurons through all these branches. So you have 100 billion, scientists argue between 80 and 100 billion. That's a big difference. You know, 100 billion neurons in your brain. They're firing 200 per second and sending out 1,000 connecting to 1,000 different other neurons. Anybody know what that number is? That's 20 million billion or 20 quadrillion electrical impulses being sent in your brain every second. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Wow, you're pretty smart. You're amazing." I mean, this is an amazing thing that's happening. Now, what's going on there? The neurons are like the superhighways. They're sending messengers and messages to muscles in your body, to other thought processes, to glands in your body, to all these different places in your body. You're just firing, just all this firing happening all the time, every second. Throughout the day, I mean, this is just an incredible amount of firings going on. And as they do, they're connecting different pathways, and they're forming familiar pathways for these impulses to go. Now, scientists thought for years that the brain was just like every other part of the human body, and that is that it grows and develops through childhood and adolescence, and then about adulthood, it settles down, and you get your brain. There you go. It's just like every other part of your body. You know, you don't just keep growing taller and taller, bigger and bigger, although sometimes we feel like we are, right? You know, you're getting taller and taller. No, you stop growing, and they thought the brain did. Recently, neuroscientists had discovered that the brain never stops growing. It never stops forming. It is constantly forming new pathways as the branches from one neuron connect to another, and it's creating neural pathways, and it's doing this all the time. The brain is constantly forming itself. Think of the word form. The brain is being formed all the time. Now, listen to the word of the Lord. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be, everybody say this word with me, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Fascinating. So I want to look at these words here, form. I like the NASB, which helps us see it's about be conformed, which is versus be transformed. This language of formation is the core teaching of where we get the language of spiritual formation. Every once in a while, I hear somebody say spiritual formation is a New Age thing. Are you kidding me? It's a biblical thing. We are, you know, formation is happening. We're not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed. I love Galatians 4:19, where Paul says, you know, I even though I'm not a woman, I think I know what childbirth pains feel like. I'm in anguish like a child, a woman giving, you know, birth. I've got labor pains in me until what? Christ is formed in you. Spiritual formation is always happening. In fact, it's happening in every single person. Write this down in your notes. Everybody, not just church people, not just Christians, every single human being is constantly being formed. Every single person is in a process of spiritual formation. Why? Because at the core of who we are, the core of who we are is not a body. We're the core of who we are is a soul. It's a spirit with a body. We actually should say we are spiritual beings, you know, with a body, instead of saying we're human beings. At the core of who we are is a spirit, is a soul. And so every human being that's alive, that has a body, that has a mind, is constantly being formed. Your mind is being formed and forming your spirit right now as I'm speaking. Whether you're listening or not, because you're thinking about something, and as you're thinking, pathways are being formed in your brain. As you watch something, as you hear something, as you eat something, as you experience something, everything that we go through in life is forming us. Most people are being passively formed by the ways of the world. And there's lots of different formation organizations. Some of them are like CBS, MTV, our internet, the things we read, the experiences that we have. We're always being formed. So there's this kind of a positive spiritual formation and a negative spiritual formation. It's not that Christians are being spiritually formed and non-Christians aren't. No, everybody is being formed. Now, with this picture in mind of all these neural pathways forming and creating the way we think and the way our mind is working, and realizing that our mind, you know, drives what we do, the mind is a very important place, and the Bible puts very big emphasis on it. And God's designed our bodies so that we enjoy the world he's given us. And I wish I could put the picture back up there. Between all these, at the end of all of these branches of the neurons are little receptors and transmitters. And when these come together, there's a synapse in between those two, and those connect. There's that firing that happens. And then when they come together, they form a wire. Like, you know, they say, neuroscientists say that neurons that fire together, you know, that impulse, wire together. Neurons that fire together, wire together. So every time you get excited about something, you go and see a beautiful sunset, their dopamine is released in your brain, and it helps to connect those oh, they're not pictures up anymore, those branches together, and your brain goes, oh, that feels good, that's beautiful. You connect that as, that's pretty, I want some more of that. I want to see another sunset. You eat God's favorite food, ice cream, right? Yeah, you don't know this? Okay. Now, you eat ice cream and go, ooh, that feels good. And so, you know, it tastes good. Dopamine is released, and a pathway that goes of receptors that communicate pleasure, good feelings, gets connected, gets created, gets formed, and the brain remembers that and goes, oh, if you want some pleasure, get some ice cream. Better, go get some ice cream while you watch the sunset. You know, wow, multiply. So, you know, the brain's worked. God's created the brain so that these chemicals, because at the end of every branch of a neuron that has all those little branches, there's these receptors and these transmitters, and dopamine gets released when there's pleasure, when there's excitement, when there's something that catches your eye. Ooh, my eyes get big, I see, my brain goes, and there's a connection that happens there, and there's a pathway that either gets formed or reinforced. So every time you do that thing that brings you pleasure, you are reinforcing that pathway. Ooh, that feels good. Ooh, I want more of this. And the idea is that you follow the right pathways. Your mind leads you down the right neural pathways, and you experience pleasure. You experience the world that God gives. And so whether it's a sunset, whether it's ice cream, whether it's sex, or whether it's, you know, it's a distortion of sex, like pornography, dopamine gets released in the brain. And, you know, those neurons, they're not moral. They just go wherever you think. So if you keep going down one path, that pathway gets familiar, it gets comfortable. The brain says when you're stressed out, let's go down that familiar pathway. Ooh, that feels good. I like pleasure. I want to go that way. And when that is a negative thing, We have a word for people who are pursuing wrong pathways, and that dopamine is being released and these pathways are being formed or reinforced. That's called an addiction. You've heard of this. It's not a positive thing. It's a negative thing. And while everybody is in the process of spiritual formation, a lot of people, many people, are in the process right now of forming an addiction. The scientists that study this stuff had to keep releasing more and more frequent bulletins on this kind of stuff because there are so many addictions being discovered. We're creating addictions. We're taking so many good things and we're turning them into addictions, as well as taking the bad things and pursuing them, and those reinforcing in our brain, that's a good pathway. Go down that pathway. No, it's not. It's a bad pathway. And so addictions start happening, and just so you're clear about what I mean by this, there's tons of different addictions. We've said before, there's nothing inherently bad with alcohol, but when people drink alcohol, oftentimes they find themselves getting a gentle addiction to that, and at the end of the day, they're like, I just need a drink. Ooh, it's a dangerous thing when you say, I just need a drink. You're starting a soft addiction there, and you start going down that pathway, and it's slow, and it's subtle, and the next thing you know, your life is being dominated with a compulsion for alcohol. And you start realizing these stats that murders, that deaths, that marriages that are ending in divorce, that so many of the evils of our society, isn't it amazing how many times they have alcohol? And yet you hear a preacher say, well, there's nothing inherently wrong with drinking alcohol. That's right. It's what you do with it when you abuse it. Now, I don't drink alcohol. Why? Because I don't want anything to have any control over my body that's not the Holy Spirit. I don't want to play the game and see how close I can get to the world. I can drink alcohol. I just choose not to because I don't want anything to have any power over my mind that would draw me away. And the next thing I know, I'm wanting it instead of wanting Jesus. So just be careful if you drink. Drinking is not bad in and of itself, but it sends you down a pathway that if you're not careful, you wake up and you're addicted. This is just the way addictions work. This is the worst addiction of all. In terms of death rate, tobacco still kills more people than anything else in our society. It's a slow death, but it's a death. And I mean, they keep telling us this year after year, and we're just so familiar with it. Guys, it kills us. It's killing you. That's not a good thing, typically, you know? So I'll just say it. You know, drugs, we're discovering more and more drug abuse happening. These things all are addictive. Gambling, food. I mean, there's nothing wrong with food, but it can be addictive. Video games, internet use, shopping, pornography. These are just some of the more popular addictions that are becoming more and more prevalent in our society. So stop thinking about addictions as, you know, those drug abusers. No, you might be addicted. In fact, the stats show that you probably are, and you actually might have several addictions. I just recently discovered that in the average church, 70% of people in an average church are viewing porn. That's us. It's not them. 70%. Now, no one wants to look around. You know, it's like, that's uncomfortable. I'm going to talk a little bit about this today because this is growing at an epidemic proportion right now. It is exploding in epidemic ways, and it's a slow death, but it reminds me of that passage in Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seems right to a man, to a person, but the end of that path is death. Addictions never end in lollipops and sunflowers or in good things. They're always destroying us one way or another. We're not to be addicted, mastered by anything. We're to surrender our life to Jesus Christ and to live for Him. But the truth of the matter is, and in churches all over the world, as well as people who don't go to church, because the number one day to view pornography, anybody want to guess what it is? Sunday. Now, nobody's doing this right now, right? Put your phones away. Stop that. You're so uptight. I use the word pornography, and some of you are like, I can't laugh anymore. Now, hopefully you're not doing it in church, but Sunday is the number one day that, I shouldn't say hopefully, please, of course you're not. It's the number one day that people view pornography. Now, pornography is wrong for moral reasons. It objectifies women, but it's also wrong because it destroys healthy relationships. It destroys community, which is what God wants to build. It destroys, it rots love from the inside out. If you're viewing pornography to spice up your marriage, it's destroying your marriage. If you're reading 50 Shades of Grey, your heart is getting grayer and grayer. It's not good. It's not spicing up your marriage, even though you might think it might for a while. It's destroying your marriage. But we don't see it as obvious as we do somebody who overdoses on heroin or hearing the raspy sound of a person who's been smoking their whole life and now has lung cancer or throat cancer. We go, ooh, that's really bad, you know. But pornography is destroying relationships, which is the fabric of society, and it's destroying life. Here's the thing is that it pretends to give life. It pretends to excite life, which actually it doesn't pretend to. It does. It excites life for a moment, but it creates death and destruction. So let's talk about how we get conformed. When Paul says, do not be conformed in NIV 84, he says, any longer. And it's a great translation because it helps us understand that the tense that Paul uses there is asking or is challenging them to stop a behavior they're already doing. See, if I say, don't do this, that's a command. But if I say, don't do it any longer, I'm saying, I know you're already doing it. Stop doing that. So many people are being conformed to destructive patterns. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, to the customs, the behaviors, the values. And this is, you know, an ancient, I shouldn't say ancient, an older translation in America called the J.B. Phillips translation translated this verse probably better than anybody. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. It's an old translation, but it's still good. This being conformed by the customs, behaviors, advertisements, values that are being elevated and lifted up all around us. You never should just be passively soaking these things in. Use your brain and actively argue with that. No, I don't agree with that. No, that's not going to bring life. No, that's going to, I know everybody's smiling as you're doing that, but that's a smoke screen. It's a con job. That's not going to bring the life that God came to give us. When Jesus said, I came to give life and life to the full, he's talking about people who are in a discipleship relationship and exploring the life that he came to give. He's not talking about just an experience here. Ooh, that felt good at church. That's the life Jesus is talking about. No, it's this being apprentice to Jesus. It's learning to have the pathways of your mind rewired by Jesus and experiencing a life that he's come to give us that's in direct contradiction to the lies all around us. They say, no, 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 there's life here. And actually, I shouldn't say the lies all around us. Now they're within us because it's as if there's little cheerleaders at the end of these neurotransmitters who are saying, go down this pathway. Here's pleasure. I know you're stressed out. I know you're tired. Go down this pathway. Go down. Choose us. And we just kind of go down that neural pathway. Why? How does this happen? Well, the first thing I would say to you is that it happens because we all of us have been deformed by sin. When sin entered the world, it deformed the image of God in every single one of us. We're still made in the image of God. Every single human being you've ever met is made in the image of God, whether you like them or not, whether they're good people or, in your opinion, bad people. Everybody's made in the image of God, but sin has deformed that image inside of us. So it's not a glorious image of God. It's not an accurate representation of God. In fact, it's been infected by sin. And every time I choose to sin, I damage the image even more. See, This first thing, being deformed by sin, maybe you've heard the phrase original sin. We all have it. It's all infecting us. And it predisposes me to choose a sinful pathway. Deformed by sin, I have a predisposition to choose something that ends up damaging me in all these different kinds of ways. This is how sin works in the human mind. This is how sin works in the heart. And so this being deformed creates the desires, and the more I follow those desires, back to the brain now, the more familiar that pathway, that neural pathway becomes. It becomes a well-traveled pathway. And I'm like, oh, I like that. I'm comfortable with that. That's familiar. I go down that pathway. I'm being shaped. I'm being formed. But I'm being formed in a negative, damaging ways. Are you tracking with me? I told somebody, I'm going to try to explain neuroscience today in a way that we all get. And I've been reading a lot, trying to learn as much as I can, but communicate in a way that's helpful to us, because I am absolutely fascinated by the recent studies of neuroscience and how it fits in with the scripture. It's just, I got even more stuff coming. So these choices, okay, they create a familiar path, a reinforced path, so we don't even realize that we're going down that pathway. And the more we do it, right, because that feels good, the more I pursue that, the more I travel that, the more well-worn it gets, that repeated pattern devastates. Tried to come up with the worst word I could. Destroy just didn't seem to be strong enough. Devastates the image of God. It devastates our desire to be like Jesus. It devastates our growth in Christ's likeness. It devastates our spiritual maturity. It destroys and devastates and wrecks. Think of a hurricane blowing through. Think of the images from World War II in London and Europe where the bombs just ravage. You know, think of the atom bomb in Hiroshima just devastated the landscape. This is what's happening, but not because of some big bomb, but all these little things, these choices that we're making. It's eroding. It's killing us from the inside out. Again, we don't see it. We're actually feeling levels of pleasure, and so we don't realize what's going on in our brain. We don't realize the impact it's making on our soul. And yet that's why I'm preaching, to help us see this. Now, let me go back to the picture. This nucleus with all the dendrites, the branches, and all the firings that are going off and connecting to other neurons, and all this is happening in the brain, you know, this 200 quadrillion times per second. Let me blow up one of these little synapses. Synapse is the part in between here. So these are the transmitters and the receptors. The dopamine is being released between these. That's that dope feeling. It feels good. And again, dope is don't think of dope as something you smoke or hit. It could be a sunset. Could be ice cream. Could be, you know, sex between a man and a wife who are married. Dopamine is that chemical that gets released between these receptors and transmitters that feels good. That's why the brain goes, ooh, I like that. And that's God created this to be used for good. This is what, you know, is supposed to happen. Now, let me show you again how this works. The neurons that fire together, wire together, so there's all these connections being made, these pathways that are being created. And so you end up following, this is why Proverbs 14:12 is so good again, following a way that seems right to you. It feels good. But it destroys. I read something from a neurological bulletin that just blew me. I almost laughed out loud as I read it. It's just, let me share what they said. As scientists or neuroscientists are discovering more of this over the last couple of decades and realizing the brain is not static, it's growing, it's changing, it's forming, it's reinventing itself all the time based upon things you see and listen to and experience and touch and feel. Okay, all that stuff is happening in your brain and then affecting your body. One particular group began to study how this pornography worked on the brain. And they discovered that people who got sucked into pornography never got out of it. That's so discouraging. They got sucked in deeper and deeper and deeper until it destroyed their marriage, the next marriage, and the next marriage, until they started doing things that they never imagined they would do. Because what happens with these neurons and the dopamine is that if you pursue something that overcharges the dopamine and releases too much, too many times, it begins to actually decay and destroy some of the receptors. So you need more dopamine to get excited again. This is the way addictions work. Again, whether it's drugs, alcohol, tobacco, you know, internet use, you know, always on my phone, pornography, all these things that create the dopamine, if you get overcharged, then it begins to decay and it takes more and more excitement, more and more hits. So like with pornography, this amazed me. It's not for guys. It's not the naked woman that continues to excite the man. It's the new naked woman. It's the novelty. And so what they discover with people who are really sucked into the addiction, they'll have like 15, 20 tabs open on their internet, on their browser, and they click, they go from one to the other, and it gets no longer stimulating. You just see a naked woman, and it's no longer stimulating to see her and some guy or several people doing something. You're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they're doing that. That's no longer stimulating. It takes more. It starts getting violent. Back to Shades of Gray. It starts getting violent. It starts getting immoral beyond even a person with a conscience can imagine. And you start desiring, doing, because you're looking for the better high, the better hit, the bigger buzz. And you get sucked into behavior because you're these things are getting connected and it feels good. And you don't realize that it's decaying. Now, watch this. They discovered that with young men, that the more that they pursued the addiction of pornography, it began to create a physiological effect. I'm going to offend some of you, but this is just God created us this way. It created a physiological effect that it became harder and harder for the guy to have an erection, erection dysfunction, ED. Not in older guys who have, you know, declining testosterone. Young guys could no longer have an erection. Why? Because they had overcharged the dopamine so many times and worn out the pathway. It's decaying. And they found it was more exciting to watch something on a screen and multiple screens than it was to have sex with their own wife. So I'm committing adultery with all these women, and meanwhile, I can't have sex with my wife because I can't, quote unquote, perform, because I prefer, the newer pathways prefer all these exciting new novelty experiences. Is this overwhelming you? Isn't this fascinating to see how this works? And so Malachi 2:15, don't deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. Don't be unfaithful with the wife of your youth. That's not just having sex with another woman. That's pornography. That's what's happening. And so my wife no longer brings me the joy that God created. And the more, watch this, the more times that you pursue these neural pathways, pursue that pornographic pathway, that dopamine actually creates, it's like a bonding effect now. So it's not just a familiar pathway. It's not just a well-worn pathway. It bonds. So I am bonded to that image and those images. And those bonds destroy the spiritual bond that I'm supposed to have with my wife that happened when God said, you are man and wife. That moment when we are married before God and we take those vows, where those bonds are created and then celebrated in sex between a husband and a wife, and that oneness, that bonding. Sex is such a spiritual thing. It's so beautiful. God created it. That bonding that happens between a man and a woman, that bonding that happens between a mother nursing their child, and dopamine gets released and oxytocin gets released. And so that kid feels bonded to that mom. It's beautiful. It's natural. It's the way God designed. But when we go down these pathways wrongly and pursue these things, we end up getting bonded to the wrong thing. And it reinforces bad behavior, negative behavior, destructive behavior, which destroys marriages, families. And so the scientists were discouraged because they couldn't find anybody recovering from pornography in order to create a control group to say, okay, this is a very destructive, unique kind of addiction, different from just about every other one. Pornography is the new drug. But there's a little bit different there. We couldn't find anybody who was recovering. And so they couldn't do control groups. They couldn't discover, couldn't create opportunities and ways for people to break that addiction until two discoveries were made. The first one was in these young men who were so virile and found out that they, because of their engagement in pornography, they're no longer able to perform either with their wife or with the other women they were having. And so they're like, that's the worst thing for a young man. You can't perform. You know, the girl's like, what's wrong with you, you know? And so these young guys are like desperate. So they're getting on the internet to try to find out, how do I, you know, fix ED? Well, Viagra only works for a while, you know, then this. And they started discovering these scientists writing about how pornography leads to ED. And these guys who are desperate for sex, you know, and starting to wear out on pornography, are starting to hit all these websites and ask for information about how to cure my ED, because I'm a young guy who still has a whole war in front of him and I can't perform anymore. And it's kind of comical that they would say to these scientists, help us get off of pornography so we can get back to sex. You can laugh. Isn't that weird? It's kind of an ironic thing. So the scientists were like, all right. So they told these young men, abstain. Have you ever heard that before? Isn't that a new idea? But these guys were motivated to abstain, so they started abstaining. Well, they tried to. You know, some were better than others because they're abstaining just with willpower. But some of them started to be able to reverse this. And they're like, well, how come this isn't happening with the older guys? Here's why. Because when the brain is in its most formative stages as a young person, they started seeing pornography at age 11. I saw my first pornographic image in my grandfather's basement when I was 12. That's average. That's the average guy sees it about 11 or 12. I should stop talking about guys. It's just destroying women's lives too, because the women are into pornography. But the typical person, I'm pretty typical, I guess, sees their first image, pornographic image, around 11 or 12. The difference today is that it's not a Playboy, it's not a magazine, it's an interactive, alive, you know, 3D, real, you know, person, but not really real, but you don't understand what I mean. And there's all these images that are bombarding, and that hooks the kid in at a very young age. And so while his brain is at the most formative stages, he's going down these neural pathways and exciting with all these clicks, and dopamine is being released like crazy. His brain is being hardwired for dopamine-saturated pornographic sex, and it destroys his brain for health as it creates these wide, well-worn neural pathways of sexual addiction. And so that's why, you know, for guys like me, I'm a lot older than 20. I know some of you are surprised by that. But, you know, I wasn't, you know, first of all, I wasn't looking at a lot of pornography when I was little. I saw some. You can't grow up in America without seeing it. But I wasn't, you know, the internet hadn't been invented yet. I don't think Al Gore was even thinking about those things. Joke. But today, everybody has internet. And everybody who has an 11-year-old has internet. And very few people have things like Covenant Eyes on their browsers. And so kids are just soaking it up, and it's shaping their brains. And it's creating what scientists were thinking is irreversible damage, until they ran into these young 20-somethings who were like, I want help with ED. And so they began to abstain, and they began to find some health there. They began to find, hey, things are working out okay. And more and more of these guys were, you know, clicking onto these neuroscientist websites and other guys who were making it easier to understand. And they started getting these control groups to discover how they could get healthy. Now, for you and me, we're not just interested in health. We want to be, we're a church today. We're serious about following Jesus. We don't want to just be sexually healthy. We don't want to just be socially healthy. We want to be transformed to be healthy, Christ-like people. Amen? Say amen, right? I mean, we're just not trying to get help. Although some of us are, we want to be like Jesus. This is a very important discipleship moment right here. Paul says, don't be conformed any longer to the ways of this world, to the customs and patterns of this world, but be transformed. How? Well, look right there in Romans 12:2. By the renewing of our minds. How do I renew my mind? That's great scripture, but how do I do that? let's go back to the physiology of the physiological studies of the brain, the rewiring. Because God created the brain. God created these neurotransmitters. He created the dopamine. He created the neurons. He created the pathways they create. This is what God created, and we've turned it for evil. This is what we do. We take something good that God's created, and we distort it. We destroy it. We use it for bad. So what we want to do is not throw out the brain. We want to go back to the way God's made us and take advantage of the way he's wired us, because as the brain is getting new experiences, it rewires itself. This is the beauty. This is the exciting thing. So let's go back to our picture. This is always happening. The synapses where the firing of the electrical chemical impulses are firing across, they're creating that bond. This is always happening. So what you want to do is you want to take a path that's creating a new neural pathway. You want to make decisions that are creating new highways in your brain, new pathways. And here's the amazing thing. As you abandon the old neural pathways, they decay. God has built into them a cells called glial cells that wash. Does that sound familiar? That wash, that scrub, that get rid of those neural pathways that are destructive. And as you build new pathways, you can recreate your brain. This is what the scientists have discovered. God's wired us in a way, he's created such a way that we can recreate our brain. We can create new neural pathways. And this is the funny thing. The doctors found that the best way to do this was to, just forget this, to meditate on something, nature, something positive. Meditation had the power of a positive thing, had the power to create a new pathway. And when they found people would meditate on the word of God, it even grew more exponentially. There, these pathways, these new pathways got started and grew faster because there's power in the word of God, not just in meditation. And by the way, again, meditation is one of those words that people freak out about. Have you ever read your Bible? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners or sit in the company of mockers, but whose light is in the law of the Lord, who meditates. I mean, Eastern religions didn't invent meditation. God invented meditation. David is just one guy who says, I've discovered that when I meditate on your word, it has the power, he didn't know this, but to create new neural pathways to renew my mind. It has the power to reform, to transform. Is this sounding familiar? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Meditating on the powerful word of God has the power to bring life and joy and fruitfulness, as this psalm goes on to say. That person is a blessed person. Now, this is like a commentary or maybe a precursor of Romans 12. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Don't walk in the ways of the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. That's being conformed to the pattern of this world. But be transformed. But delight in the law. That the law doesn't mean like rules. It means the Torah. It means the word of God. It means God's revelation in the first five books of the Bible, which is all David had at that point. So he's meditating on the words of God, the instruction of God, the life of God in the word of God. And as we meditate, that person becomes a blessed person. This is so relevant to the greatest and newest discoveries of neuroscience today. It is God saying, before we could get into the brain and see how all these neurotransmitters work, he's like, I'm telling you the pathway right here. We ought to be just jumping out of our seats right now. This is what I'm so excited about. So I'm going to just give you a couple of scriptures. Write these down. And I'm going to ask Ben, our director of communications, to put these and some others up on our website or send them out through social media, because this is just a couple that I wrote down just to meditate on these. Okay, what do I mean by meditation? I mean to focus on that. Play it through your mind. Read it and think about it. I love to use the word marinate. That's my favorite synonym for meditate. Marinate in the Word of God. let's soak so all the juices of the Word of God get saturated into your brain, and you get a marinated brain in the Word of God. So, you know, here's the scripture we looked at today. Meditate on this. Don't be conformed any longer. Tell yourself this. Read it. Repeat it. Jim, don't be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world. Jim, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Lord, and then pray this. Lord, I don't want to be conformed any longer. This is what I do. I do this all the time. I don't want to be conformed to the ways of the world. They're so sly. They're so sneaky. And I'm prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. So I recognize this predisposition to sin because of original sin. I realize I've been deformed by sin. Lord, I want you to transform me by the renewing of my mind. I'm meditating and I'm praying. And is this making sense? The Bible's not magic. You don't just kind of, you know, read it and go, bam, oh, I got it. No, it's life that has to be digested. So I was talking with a guy I'm becoming friends with who said, you know, we don't just need to read the Bible. We need to hear the Bible. Sometimes, you know, we hear that we think about reading the Bible and we think, oh, if I just read the words, they magically just kind of in my brain. No, hear as you're reading it. Hear, listen, let the words soak into you. Meditate on them. Don't meditate on 25 verses. Meditate on one verse, one phrase. And there's all these things you can pick from. You know, Psalm 63 is one of my favorites. You know, Lord, I thirst for you as in a dry and desert parched land. My soul thirsts for you. And so when I'm being tempted or when I'm being drawn away, I remind myself, no, my deeper thirst, my greater ultimate thirst is for God. Lord, I'm thirsty for you. Right now, it just feels like what I want to do is watch a TV or, you know, raid the refrigerator. But what I really want is you. I thirst for you. And I remind myself that Titus 2:14, the grace of God has appeared to all people, teaching us to say no. I don't have that one up there, do I? Put it right here. Titus 2:14. To say no to ungodliness and to say yes to God. That's the grace of God teaching me. I meditate on that and I dwell on that. And those words begin to create new neural pathways in my brain, and the old ones decay, and I begin to be drawn to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to remind me in the moment of temptation. 1 Corinthians 10, you know, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and every time you're tempted, God's faithful. He provides a way out. Oh, I thank you. I'm glad I memorized that and I meditated on it because the Holy Spirit can now remind me of that because Paul says this so well in Romans chapter 5. That's the other verse. Those who live according to the flesh, sounds like Romans 12, 2a, being conformed to the pattern of this world. Those who live according to the flesh, that's not this kind of flesh, flesh and bones. It's a word that refers to a disposition toward evil, a penchant for evil. Everybody has this desire, this penchant. Those who live according to that, who create those neural pathways, have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit of God have their mind set, renewing of your mind. Have your mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now watch this. The mind governed by the flesh. Everybody say this word with me. Is. Do you believe that? See, it's a slow death, so we don't see it. And since we don't see it, we don't think it's real. But the Bible warns us again and again. If you create neural pathways governed by the flesh, that's what your mind is focusing on. It's going to destroy you from the inside out. But, glorious, but the mind that's being renewed by the Spirit, that's governed by the Spirit is, oh, don't you want this? Life and peace. Amen? That's what we want. There it is. Meditate on these verses. Because the Spirit of God, who inspired the Word of God, breathes into the Word of God, and then breathes that into you and breathes life into you. He gives grace to enable you to choose, not in your own willpower, but grace-enabled willpower, Spirit-empowered willpower. He gives you the ability to say no to ungodliness and yes to godliness. To choose, not again by your willpower, but by His Spirit-empowered willpower, giving you the ability to choose the right path. And you go down a path, you create a well-worn path that brings more and more joy, more and more life, more and more peace. So be, you know, renewing your mind by rewiring it and by rebreathing. This is what my book is all about. Continually breathing in God's Spirit. God, breathe into me your desires. Lord, give me the desires that you want from me. Lord, I breathe in your grace, forgiveness, mercy, renewal, passion, desire, understanding. God, I just breathe in all that you have for me. I keep learning to breathe in God's Spirit, who's the breath of God, who will breathe into me life. And that begins to rewire me from the inside out. And so death is no longer corroding and decaying my mind, but my mind is alive with all these neurons firing, and I become a person who's becoming more and more alive with the color of God and the joy of God. Watch this. God's word has the power to physiologically rewire our brains, developing in us the mind of Christ. And that's what we want. That's how we become more like Christ. God, make all things new. So before you put your notes away, listen to this. The best time to meditate on the Word of God is right before you go to sleep, bed, you know. Yeah, why? Because you only use 10% of your brain when you're awake, and you use 90% of your brain while you're sleeping. What? I don't have time to explain how these glial neurons and cells are washing your brain while you sleep and are whisking away those decaying neural pathways that you're no longer following and renewing your mind as God grants to those he loves sleep. Right before you go to bed, don't watch a movie. Don't go through the internet. I don't even care what you're watching on the internet. Just turn off all media. Half an hour before bed. I think one neuroscientist, I think, said an hour. I'm not sure you can do that for some of you. So let's start with a half an hour. This is neuroscience suggesting that you meditate on something positive. And I'm saying the Word of God, because it's more than just positive meditation. See, Eastern mysticism uses meditation to empty your brain. Biblical meditation is to fill your brain with the Word and the power and the character of God. So half an hour before you bed, click one of those verses that I just put up there. Meditate on it. And while you're sleeping, the Word of God will be washing you. Sounds like Ephesians 5:26. Through the washing of the Word, he'll be washing you, recreating, renewing, rewiring your brain. And you're taking steps to become more like Christ. Amen? Isn't this amazing? This is the brain that God's given us. May you have the mind of Christ as you learn how to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen? Let's close our eyes. Oh God, so much good stuff here. But you're the one that makes all things new. So use your word. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to remind us of what we've heard and to create a renewal inside of our minds as we surrender ourselves to you. You're the one that makes all things new. So renew us, we pray. Wash us. Get rid of those decaying pathways that we want to leave, and give us the grace and the strength and the willpower to start pursuing your Word of God that shapes us. And Lord, by the very brain you created, help us to create in us new neural pathways. Destroy the porn pathways in the name of Jesus. Destroy the pathways that are addictive and destructive. Destroy the predisposition that we have towards sort of unhealthy addictions. I pray this in the name of Jesus. And instead, help us to rewire by the way you've made us new pathways that glorify you, that bring life, what we want in the first place, that bring life and joy and peace Heal marriages, Lord, as our minds are renewed. For we pray this in the name of Jesus, the one who makes all things new. Amen.